broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. This is the broadcast for February the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2021, hour two of two. My goal, to promote God, family, and country, to protect life, liberty, and property. That's who we are. That's what we do. Welcome to the broadcast. They tell you that we're anti-government. They tell you that we're a hate group. They tell you all kinds of lies about us, ladies and gentlemen, but you listen to what I have to say, and you ask yourself if I'm into hate or love. You ask yourself if I'm into peace or violence. You ask yourself who I am and what I stand for and who we are and what our guests say and do on the radio, and you analyze for yourself who you believe the truth tellers are, because, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you right now, we need to take off the gloves. And I don't mean to be abusive or violent or anything else. I'm just talking about, look, they're getting very tough. They're into body blows now. They're playing games and suggesting we're hate groups, and now they've even escalated this idea that we're terrorists of some kind. We got to reject that notion very directly, ladies and gentlemen. It's time to go into defense mode and even offensive mode, not in a violent way, but to stop them from their abuses. Okay, if somebody's coming at me, you know what, I can parry blows for a while, but at some point I need to stop them. I need to disable their attack on me. It doesn't mean violent, but it does mean get a little bit more aggressive than I've hitherto been. That's what needs to happen here, because you know what? They're not civil at all. They're literally challenging all of our revenue. They're literally getting in our face, marginalizing us. In my opinion, they're literally going to the point of putting our lives and, frankly, our families' lives in danger. We can't allow that to stand. Okay, let me say that again. We cannot allow that to stand. That's just out of control, over the top, unacceptable. All right, we have got to get more bold, more clear about who we are and what we do, right? We have got to really focus on solutions. We have really got to double down and make a difference, folks. I'm just telling you right now, we have got to take the next steps to go on the offensive. Anyway, I talked about it in detail last hour. We talked about Facebook says PragerU is fake news. Where does Facebook get off saying that? In fact, most of the fake news in the fake organizational gathering that took place for the siege on the Capitol, if you want to call it that, was done through Facebook, ladies and gentlemen. And they're going to call PragerU fake news? See, this is what I mean by we need to call them out. We need to be polite, but we need to get in their face. We need to not be violent. We need to be civil, but we need to challenge their dishonest fake news narrative. Okay, YouTube now throttling WND because WND dares to defend Trump supporter Mike Lindell, David Kapilian, WND.com. Look, we have every right to defend Mike Lindell if we want to. Okay, we have every right to try to find out what is the truth in this Michael Lindell thing. What is the truth in this Donald Trump thing? What is the truth with the Capitol riots that took place? Who's who? What's what? We have every right to dig and get involved in journalistic investigative research and to figure out what's happening. We have every right. In fact, we have a duty to do so as journalists and talk show hosts. And right? All right, what can we do? Here's what we can do. We can honestly, accurately, and fearlessly shine a very bright journalistic light into all the growing darkness that's trying to overtake our country. Okay, we can focus that light on corruption and fraud and deceit and lies and disinformation everywhere they can be found. That's what we need to do, but we need your finances to get it done, folks. We just do. Anyway, I commend David Kapilian. WND.com doing a great job. All right, a quick recap of yesterday's show. I normally do this first hour, but I delayed it till the second hour. Once in a while, I try to throw in a different segments of the program so that others who may not be able to listen to the start of the program but can catch the second hour or whatever, then they can kind of hear a lot of times. We do a recap every day of the previous show. And you say, well, why would you do that? Because a lot of times people can't listen to everything. So we produce the show notes at lovingliberty.net, libertyroundtable.com. And then you can read those notes. And if there's something you want to listen to, then you can go back and, you know, look which hour it's in and, you know, look how many stories in it is. And, you know, you can kind of get an idea of where it is in the show. If it says it's in first hour, let me just give you an example. First hour yesterday, we talked about the following things. We talked about News for Patriots, e-alert. Mother Nature turns winter fury on Deep South. The U.S. is divided into three grids. One covers the eastern U.S., one covers the western states, and then there's the Texas grid. The Texas grid is called ERCOT, and an agency of the same name runs it, right? There you have it. The Electric Reliability Council of Texas. We also talked about the temporary collapse of Texas. It's foreshadowing the total collapse of the United States. PatriotRising.com wrote that piece. So that's the three headlines that we wrote for hour one. So see, if you're interested in any of that, you can listen to hour one, right? And if you want to hear, you know, the second two stories or whatever, you might try right after the half hour break. You can see it's in the second half hour. You can skim the broadcast. We have tools online where you can skim. If you download it, the player can, you know, you can double play things. You can, there's all kinds of ways to listen quicker. There's all kinds of ways to narrow in on the topics that you want. Second hour, we had our guest on, Mr. Jim Clymer with the Constitution Party, the Party of Integrity, Liberty, and Prosperity. Wow. ConstitutionParty.com is their website. But anyway, Jim was with me the whole hour. And we talked about what would happen if a severe long-term national emergency disrupted food, water, and power systems for months on end, what would happen? We talked about that in the second hour with Jim. We talked about, quote, all it took to cause a short-term collapse scenario in the state of Texas was some cold weather. Eventually, much worse things will happen to our nation. And it has become clear that we're simply not ready for these things. So we talked about preparedness. Get prepared while you still can, because time is running out, we said. We talked about Solutions Radio. My headline is to repent, turn to God, pray, do all you can to get ready. That's my advice. We talked about the climate czar, John Kerry, working for the Biden administration. We have, quote, 9 years left to avert a climate catastrophe, and there's no room for BS on it anymore, he says. When Joe Biden and team was asked through his press secretary if he agreed with the John Kerry statement, you heard crickets. They're not telling you if they agree, which means they probably agree. I disagree with that scenario. What I mean by that is, no doubt as we turn our back on God as a society, we're going to have repercussions. Go look at the biblical prophecies about our time and what's going to happen. So I get that it's going to get gnarly, but I don't want to put a time frame on it. Makes me wonder if they're engineering some of this stuff when they can put such close time frames. And well, if they prove themselves right, then is it a self-fulfilling prophecy by false flag action? I don't know, but it concerns me. Polling data suggests that voters who backed former President Donald Trump in the 2020 election, they have way more nuanced opinions on climate change than the binary climate discussions that climate activists pitch. You're either a denier or a promoter. They want you to believe it's that binary thing, but it turns out that most people's feelings are more nuanced. And I agree with that. The headline says 66% of Trump voters believe climate change is real. The remaining 34% say that it's not real and the government should do nothing to combat it. See, now they're mixing issues. Because I'm one that does believe climate change is real. If you don't believe me, wake up in the morning and go outside and tell me what temperature it is, and then do the same thing at noon and 3 o'clock. And if it warms up, then you got climate change. And then at night when it cools down, do you have climate change again? Yes, you do. Well, that same daily cycle, believe it or not, because you would say, well, Sam, that's just the sun going up and down. Okay, but if you have daily cycles, do you have weekly cycles? Monthly cycles? Yearly cycles? 10 years? 100 years? 1,000 years? You know, what cycles do you have, right? And I think that's important to kind of acknowledge, or to be aware of at least, right? It's important to think through that. And so I do think there's climate change. I also know that God controls the weather. And if you don't believe me, just ask Noah. He said to the people, if you don't repent, bad weather is going to come. He was building an ark. He said the earth is going to be flooded. They laughed and mocked and jeered. And well, thank heavens that Noah did listen to God and was saved from the flood via the guidance God gave him, right? There's been weather-related realities. If you go back to the times of, what, Baal in the Bible or whatever, they tried to bring down fire and couldn't do it with their false gods. And then the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob brought down fire and burned up everything, even with all the extra water and everything put on it. So we know God's in charge of fire. We know God's in charge of water. I submit to you that he's in charge of the very air we breathe. So we know that God's in charge of the weather to a great degree. How much he lets man meddle with it, I don't know. So how much weather manipulation and false flag there is there, I can't really say. I know a lot of people say there's a lot of that going on. There may be, but I don't have enough detailed evidence to document enough of it. So I just say, hey, it very well could be. So I try to be a responsible reporter on this, right? Hang tight, hour one of the can for sure. Segment one of the can, too. Segment two coming up. I got some interesting twists for you on the radio today. Hang tight.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bushman. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it's educational and entertaining. LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word and tell the tale. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've talked a lot about what's going on. We need to stand for liberty, folks, and we need to get bolder about it. We don't need to get violent. We need to be peaceful and civil, but we need to be bolder about it. All right? We need to really, really make a difference here. Headline says, Checkpoint Pelosi. Democrats consider permanent military-style barrier around the Capitol, writes Tony Perkins of Family Research Council. Wow. Now, he wrote this in the Washington Times, I might add. This is interesting because you know, the Washington Times, in my opinion, giving a little bit of credence to who we are. Now, here's what's funny. On one hand, they want you to believe that Tony Perkins and others are terrorists, you know, Christians and stuff like that. At the same time, they're publishing his article. I guess he had to pay a pretty penny for that, but that proves the point. Nevertheless, it says this: congressional Democratic leaders are considering a permanent military style barrier around the U.S. Capitol. Even as we learn that 7,000 National Guardsmen will stay another month in D.C. in Capitol Hill under the Democrats, it looks more like the infamous crossing Checkpoint Charlie between East and West Berlin, ladies and gentlemen, when the communists controlled Eastern Europe, Tony Perkins writes. It seems that Democrats have forgotten the violence of last summer when left-wing rioters looted and burned private and public buildings throughout Washington, D.C. and many other cities. Believe it or not, listen carefully to this, folks. This is really important. Ready? Where rioters killed at least 12 people, injured hundreds of police officers and innocent victims, and destroyed up to $2 billion. That's with a B, ladies and gentlemen. $2 billion of private property. The worst rioting occurred in Portland, Oregon, where nightly attacks on federal buildings cost $2.3 million alone. Wow. Democrats and their media complicit allies called the nightly rioting, looting rituals peaceful protests and criticized Donald Trump for trying to deploy police forces to stop it. They also called Mr. Trump Bunker Boy. When the Secret Service installed a temporary anti-riot fence around the White House complex after rioters tore apart barricades and harmed, and they say injured or harmed, scores of law enforcement personnel. I was hesitating trying to find out exactly which police it was. They just say law enforcement personnel with projectiles. The rioters gathered daily on 1600 Avenue, or I guess 16th Street, north of the White House, which they renamed Black Lives Matter Plaza. Now, the Democratic mayor did that, ladies and gentlemen, in partnership with the Black Lives Matter movements. They lit fires, and they taunted police officers. Tony Perkins says, as I tried to go to Family Research Council headquarters, I had to deal with this myself walking through these violent crowds. After Mr. Trump delivered his Republican National Convention, or RNC, acceptance speech, a mob surrounded and attacked Senator Rand Paul and his wife as they and others tried to leave the White House complex. Wow. When Mr. Trump enacted the National Guard to stop the violence, Democrats again condemned the militarized police presence. Now, this is interesting. So now Donald Trump is being attacked. He invokes the National Guard, just like he tried to do over and over and over to protect Congress, and he got ignored at every turn. Meanwhile, businesses in downtown D.C., were left on their own to protect themselves with no police protection whatsoever. Property owners, including my own organization, Family Research Council, currently spotted rioters and responded to rioters. We hired extra security. We installed plywood over windows. Okay, they did everything they could. Bands of protesters roved about the city, blocking roads, intimidating diners. Yet we heard little from Democratic leaders other than words of praise for those standing up and exercising their, quote, First Amendment rights. Wow. Shocking, ladies and gentlemen. The anticipation of leftist violence after Election Day left many establishments to flat out board up. Yeah. So here's what happened. You ready? So after the election and Joe Biden won, they started taking the boards down. Businesses started to uncover and feel like, hey, maybe the threat would be over now that Biden won. However, if you walk by the Capitol now, you'd think the threat is greater now than it was then. Actually, you can't even get close to the Capitol. 8-foot fencing topped by razor wire. Cordons off streets of up to 4 blocks away. Around the clock, National Guards in, quote, military fatigues. With automatic weapons, stand at 20-yard intervals. Wow. The Pentagon is now projecting that the Pentagon will spend almost $500 million, $500 million. Wow. In security costs at the U.S. Capitol, it's almost like a dictatorship, not the United States of America, says Tony Perkins. Democrats in Congress insist that the measures are necessary because of the Capitol riot on January the 6th. But in reality, ladies and gentlemen, and Tony Perkins doubles down on this, and I completely agree with the leader of the Family Research Council. Listen up. Tony Perkins says, but they don't want to waste a good crisis that will allow them to expand power and control. Isn't this exactly what I've been saying? Let me be clear. Conservatives agree that what happened on January 6th at the Capitol is despicable and needs to be stopped, and those who perpetrated the crime need to be prosecuted. Lawless activities cannot uphold the law. Right? But if any evidence points to the possibility of a repeat attempt, it's a well-kept secret. In other words, nobody knows of anything in the works now. Nobody. You can ask the FBI, you can ask the CIA, you can ask any of these groups. Democrats have simply forgotten that the U.S. Congress is the people's house. Americans have always had the right to enter the U.S. Capitol, ladies and gentlemen, to visit their representatives and their senators, and to exercise their First Amendment rights to petition their government. Right? That is as the First Amendment provides. None of this makes much sense if, like the House Speaker says, the enemy is within, or as she labeled it, later clarified, quote, that means that we have members of Congress who want to bring guns on the floor. Wow. And have threatened violence on other members of Congress. What? She has slapped fines on members of Congress who fail to go through the, quote, security checkpoints. As I remember it, Tony Perkins says, it was Democratic politicos like Congresswoman Maxine Waters and now Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, so Maxine and Chuck, who harassed Trump aides at restaurants, called for violence against Donald Trump supporters, threatened Supreme Court justices. This is the essence of a double standard. The razor wire fence around the Capitol is more than just a, quote, security measure, ladies and gentlemen. It represents what's happening to freedom in America. If we shut out the American people from their own government, we have a real problem. I'll tell you what Bill Clinton did temporarily that's still happening today. So much for temporary, huh? Liberty Roundtable, live.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
A BNSF train and an 18-wheeler truck collided in Cameron, Texas, causing a large explosion and fire. According to Milam County Judge Steve Young, the crash happened before 7 a.m. Tuesday. Young says the 18-wheeler hit the train, causing 14 train cars to derail. However, the driver of the 18-wheeler survived, and all personnel on the train are okay. The wife of notorious longtime drug kingpin El Chapo on Tuesday was ordered held without bond pending trial one day after she was arrested at Dulles International Airport for alleged international drug trafficking. 31-year-old Emma Espiro faces a charge of conspiracy to distribute 1 kilogram or more of heroin, 5 kilograms or more of cocaine, 1,000 kilograms or more of marijuana, and 500 grams or more of methamphetamines. President Trump has submitted a statement of appeal to an oversight board funded by Facebook in a bid to rejoin the platform. The decision is expected to take around 2.5 months. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I've been taking vitamins off and on my whole adult life, and I've never seen any change. Not like this, not since I've been on Balance of Nature. I used to take prescription medication for muscle aches and stuff. I don't take that anymore. I wish I would have started it back when I first heard about it on the radio. And if I can give Balance of Nature any advice, keep it out on the radio, because I still hear these commercials from time to time, and I'm thinking, you know, you people need to listen up. I mean, I'm over 50, and, you know, your body starts wearing down. But Balance of Nature has literally changed my life. It really has.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code USA.
In a bill that experts say will take our children and grandchildren to pay back, the exuberant $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill has many critics. Ohio USA Radio News Bureau's Dan Naraki reports.
The House will vote on President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief package this Friday, according to the House Majority Leader. Representative Steny Hoyer said that the bill will come to the House floor Friday morning with a vote to follow. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said he was disappointed that Democrats would try to ram a partisan COVID bill through.
As you know, 10 of our members actually went down, met with the president, and talked about a more narrow, targeted approach. The message was that they were not interested in doing it that way. They're going to try to muscle us through on a totally partisan basis. And I think I can safely speak for most of my members that we think this is dramatically more money than is required at this particular juncture.
We are USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got a serious problem on our hands in America, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you right now, it's a serious business. Serious business indeed. We're talking about the essence of a double standard. Yes, we are, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. Okay. We've got to seriously look at this. All right. What are we going to do? As Ammon Bundy asked years ago, what are we to do? Okay. As I remembered, it was Democrat politicos like Chuck Schumer and Maxine Waters calling for violence, threatening Supreme Court justices and harassing people in restaurants. The razor wire fence around the Capitol is more than just a security measure. It represents what's happening in America, the loss of freedom. After the Oklahoma City bombing, ladies and gentlemen, I told you right before the break, I'll tell you what Clinton temporarily did. After the Oklahoma City bombing occurred, President Clinton temporarily closed Pennsylvania Avenue in front of the White House to vehicle traffic. It's still closed today, ladies and gentlemen. Right? A long-term razor wire barrier around the U.S. Capitol, listen carefully, may never come down unless we speak out, says Tony Perkins. The real threat to America's future and to our freedom is that the American people will be taken in by these shenanigans, by the, quote, political theater, and will surrender liberty for a pretense of security. As East Berlin was once known for Checkpoint Charlie, Washington, D.C., once the emblem of freedom, will become known for Checkpoint Pelosi and the stifling of freedom. Then they say, sign the petition now. Anyway, I commend Tony Perkins for a well-written article, putting it in the Washington Times. I'm going to give you the name of this article one more time so you can look it up and share it with your friends. It's really, really valuable. Checkpoint Pelosi is the name of the article. Checkpoint Pelosi, Democrats consider permanent military-style barrier around the Capitol. Tony Perkins, Washington Times. What a great, great, great article. Now, let me double down for you here, ladies and gentlemen. So they said Trump incited violence, even though Trump never went to the Capitol, right? And I don't know how to respond to that at all, really. But they claim that Joe incited violence. He never went to the Capitol. I'm sorry, that Donald incited violence. Joe said this. He never went inside the Capitol. And he told people to go there peacefully. All right? But the dishonesty and the double standard is on steroids. Tony Perkins referred to it. But I'm going to highlight even more the shenanigans. All right? Headline, flashback. Joe Biden was arrested. What for? For illegally invading the U.S. Capitol. This is not a joke, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Biden was arrested for invading the U.S. Capitol. He says, quote, I walked up, I sat down, and I got arrested. I sat down in the presiding officer's seat, and he blatantly admits to doing this. Now, guess who reports this? WND.com does. I've been talking about them all day for a reason. They do a great job. I don't see others reporting much about this. Flashback. Joe Biden was arrested for illegally invading the U.S. Capitol. He said, I walked up, I sat down in the presiding officer's seat, Bob Unruh, excuse me, Bob Unruh, WorldNet Daily. Biden made the admission in an interview in 2007 with David Letterman. Yeah, I kid you not. This is hard to even believe, isn't it? Not really. This is what the criminals do. You say, Sam, what? No, this is true. You want to hear Joe admit it in his own words? We managed to get a copy of the audio. Here's Joe.
What was that like, walking into the great Senate chamber at 29 years old?
You know, I walked in when I was 21, and I got arrested. It was a Saturday. I was down visiting some friends at Georgetown University, and I came up on a Saturday morning because I was fascinated with the Senate. And they had a Saturday session. I walked up those days, no guards stopping everywhere, and they just got out of session. I walked in the back. All of a sudden, I found myself in the chamber, and I was stunned. I walked up, sat down the presiding officer's seat. Guy grabbed me by the shoulder, said, you're under arrest.
Okay, that's Joe Biden in his own words, ladies and gentlemen. So not only did Joe Biden breach the Capitol, but he got arrested for doing so. Is that acceptable in your mind, ladies and gentlemen? This is serious, folks. And you could say, well, come on, he just peacefully walked in there. He didn't go in there armed. I know. But let's document how many people went to the peaceful rally January 6th, 2021. How many people were peaceful at the rally and then left and went home wanting to see Donald Trump? How many people peacefully went to the Capitol, rallied outside the Capitol and milled around outside of the Capitol and even went in like Joe Biden, your current president that got arrested for doing so? Why did he get arrested? Because I'm sure that because he sat in the specific chair there. Okay, but people have gone peacefully into the, what's it called? Peacefully went into the Capitol many times. But when you sit in the presiding officer's seat, are you allowed to do that? Right? Question. Interesting question. But I bring this up because so Joe Biden went in there and got arrested for doing so. Trump never went in there. Trump told people to be peaceful and patriotic. How many people went to the Capitol? Or how many people, I'm sorry, went to the peaceful event versus how many people went to the Capitol versus how many went into the Capitol building versus how many were really violent and really problematic? And the answer, ladies and gentlemen, when you dig in, is stark, is shocking, is amazing to understand. You literally have hundreds of thousands that went to the peaceful rally. You literally have tens of thousands that went to the Capitol, a significantly less number. What about all the people that didn't decide to go to the Capitol? Were they influenced by Trump? Were they incited? What about all the people, the 10,000 of plus people that went? And I don't even know the numbers. I don't know how you get those because no one's mentioning them. But then how many people went into the Capitol? 200, 300, 400, 500? How many people now are up on charges of violence? I know people that peacefully went into the Capitol and they got arrested, but then they got freed because they committed no crime, just like Joe Biden. How many people really committed a crime and really now all they're focusing on, really, their focus isn't even on Trump supporters anymore. Their focus is on a few militia group / Oath Keeper affiliated people. As Stuart Rhodes said, low-level Oath Keepers. Many of them not even really Oath Keeper members. And on these Proud Boys. And the Proud Boys aren't really Trump supporters. They claim they are. But Trump has disavowed the Proud Boys. He told them to stand back. As far as I can tell, he hasn't backed the Proud Boys at all. But see, no denial, no rejection of their rhetoric and of their behavior is acceptable. Because if Trump denies it, then they just say, oh, you're throwing a bone. You're, sending dog whistles. You're this, you're that. You can never win. Right? You can never win with these people is what I'm trying to get at. But Joe Biden literally breached the Capitol, literally got arrested, literally went on Letterman and bragged about it. Right? Nancy Pelosi literally is creating Checkpoint Charlie at the Capitol. Bill Clinton literally locked down the White House, so you don't have vehicle traffic in front of it. It was supposedly temporary, but we still have it today. Reminds me of the IRS, right? Yeah, it was set up in World War II to bring money in for the war or whatever, the taxes. But the war, well, did the war go away? Yeah, the war went away, right? But we still have the tax. This is a serious, serious thing. Quick pause. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable live.
Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
So Donald Trump literally getting accused without evidence of inciting violence, impeached over the matter, rejected by the Senate, thank heavens. But the battle's on. Joe Biden admitted blatantly on David Letterman that he got arrested for breaching the Capitol there. But now the guy's president of the United States of America. He also bragged about denying money to foreign governments. All kinds of criminal activity by Joe, but nobody seems to care. Now Donald Trump to break silence in major CPAC or CPAC address. They say he will focus on the Republican Party and the conservative movement. Well, Donald, my buddy, my dear friend, if you don't get involved in the media and help us out in the media, I submit to you they're going to continue to have their way with you like they have hitherto done, my friend. The former president, they say, will also take on President Joe Biden's immigration policies during his speech. A source familiar with the plan told USA Today. CPAC comes just after the former president broke an uncharacteristic period of silence since leaving office, blasting Mitch McConnell. But you know what? I don't mean to be too offensive here. But you know what, Trump? You better be careful, because they want to get you, my friend. And you know what? I think there's a way out of it. And the way out of it is to build your own media organization. The way out of it is to back media organizations like ours, because we can defend you, sir. And the more defense you can get, if we had enough media to seriously challenge their narrative at every turn, just think of the difference we could make, former President Trump. All right, we can make a tremendous, tremendous difference. All right. So the question is, will Donald Trump take over the Rush Limbaugh show? I mentioned that he might, but others are saying he doesn't want to spend 3 hours a day on the radio. That's fine, President Trump. You don't need to take over Rush Limbaugh's show. What you need to do is find a solid talk show host that's got sturdy chops from doing this forever, that you can trust, that walks an appropriate line between defending liberty and telling the truth as an open-minded truth teller, but somebody who doesn't cross the line into saying things that we ought not say. See, a lot of the great show hosts right now, Glenn Beck, Michael Savage, many of the others, they do a lot of good, don't misunderstand me, but they also kind of run off of the mouth and say things they ought not and get in big trouble. You got to be really, really careful to guard against that, ladies and gentlemen. Because it can get you in trouble big time. What I mean is, not telling the truth, that's fine. But when you cross the line into statements that could be taken as violent or overly aggressive, or you can't create cannon fodder for them, right? Anyway, Trump to break silence in major speech at CPAC coming up. Will Trump take over Limbaugh's show? I doubt it, but I think he should. But you know what, President Trump, you could fund a bunch of us in the media. I mean, you could give a guy like me a couple of $1 million and just change our world. We could instantly become a force to reckon with. Now, we already are to some degree. We're way bigger than they want you to believe we are. Okay? My buddy James Edwards didn't get attacked from the Clinton administration and from the Trump administration at the same time if we were nobodies. They didn't literally write me up in CNN and every big paper on the planet when I interviewed Donald Trump Jr. on Super Tuesday for no reason. So we're bigger than they admit we are. When they want to down us, they kind of make you believe we're teeny boppers and nobodies. But when they attack us, you know that they're not attacking us because we don't matter. They're attacking us because it's a tacit admission that we do matter, and they know it. Anyway, Trump, I hope that you get involved in the media, buddy, and fund a few of us because we really could use your support. And what you need is something even way beyond your own media ventures. Beyond dipping your own toe in the media, you need guys like me. You need 50 of us, 100 of us, 1,000 of us. Because if we had a big enough push in the media, we could overturn the narrative they paint. What you're talking about is the battle for the hearts and minds and eyes and ears of the American people. And they know that our voices are being heard. They know that our influence is bigger than they want to admit. That's why they're trying to shut us down on Facebook. How many viewers would we have on Facebook? Well, you say, Sam, I look at your viewership on Loving Liberty and you got, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20,000, right? Yeah, but they shadow ban me. So most of my messages don't get out to all those viewers. And how many more viewers, listeners, supporters, readers, whatever you want to call it, how many more would I have if we weren't shadow banned and shut down and people could hear my messages day in and day out? Okay, how many people could hear us talk about this Washington Times article written by Tony Perkins of Family Research Council? Checkpoint Pelosi. Democrats consider permanent military style barrier around the Capitol. That should be way beyond the Washington Times. I'm grateful that it's in the Times, but just imagine if 1,000 talk show hosts like me were talking about it. Just imagine if Trump could promote it on the Rush Limbaugh show. Just imagine if you could get newspapers, WND.com and many other places that would talk about this and focus on it. Okay, just imagine if you could tell the whole nation that Joe's attacking Trump for giving a speech and supposedly inciting violence, but Joe literally went into the Capitol and arrested for illegally invading the Capitol. How many people know that? I walked up, sat down to the presiding office member's chair, and promptly got arrested, says Joe Biden on David Letterman, documented by WorldNet Daily. See, how big would WorldNet Daily's presence be if they got the credit for the articles they promote and the things that they talk about? This isn't fake news, folks. I played you the clip, for crying out loud. Should I play it again? I played you the clip. Right? Think about that. Here's Joe Biden one more time. I just want to make sure you guys know that we actually have the soundbite.
What was that like walking into the great Senate chamber at 29 years old?
You know, that was David Letterman. And David Letterman said 29 years old. It was really 21 years old. Joe had to correct him. So, David, you're even involved in fake news, brother. Sorry about that. We caught you at it. It's okay. We all make mistakes. I'm just making a point, though, that, see, they attack us. We don't have near the investigative research finances and tools that they have, right? Anyway, here's Joe admitting to his criminal activity.
Well, I walked in when I was 21, and I got arrested. It was a Saturday. I was down visiting some friends at Georgetown University. And I came up on a Saturday morning because I was fascinated with the Senate. And they had a Saturday session. I walked up those days, no guards stopping you everywhere. And they just got out of session. I walked in the back. All of a sudden, I found myself in the chamber, and I was stunned. I walked up, sat down in the presiding officer's seat. Guy grabbed me by the shoulder, said, "You're under arrest."
There you have it. I play it again so you guys know we have the soundbite. But just imagine if that was in the mainstream news. Just imagine if we had a big enough news apparatus. And I don't mean a single owner or a single news. I'm talking about a big enough apparatus that you had conservative constitutionalists, Americans, that told the tale of truth. And I'm talking about a diverse group of Americans. You know, there's a lot of people that would tell the tale that do a great job in doing so. Right? But Black Lives Matter gets $90 million in 1 year. And we struggle. Donald Trump, literally a sitting president, gets banned from Facebook. Supposedly they claim he's violent. But Joe Biden's the one that literally went into the Capitol and got arrested for it, not Donald. They attack President Trump and look for a time when he said the N-word. They can't find it. But Barack Obama said the N-word. I have the soundbite. See, the double standard has just got to be exposed. So I appreciate Donald Trump breaking silence in CPAC speech. That's great. And I hope that, you know, there's somebody who takes over the Limbaugh show. You know, Rush could put a guy like me there, no problem. Trump could put a guy like me there, I should say, no problem. Rush and his family could put a talk show host there that would be a serious, serious, hardcore truth teller if they tried. But is Donald going to just sit back and try to influence the party from outside? And, you know, I don't believe that you can make as much of a difference in politics as you can outside. People say, Sam, you ought to run for office, buddy. You'd be really good. I say, I think I can do a whole lot more from outside. Right? But I think we need to honestly, accurately, fearlessly shine a very bright light on the truth. That's exactly what Thomas Jefferson had in mind when he said the only security of all is in a free press. We need you to help us, folks. All right, now listen. I guess there's a high-profile Trump allies eyed. So high-profile Trump allies eyed in Capitol riot probe. Turns out that the Justice Department is reportedly looking into and investigating Roger Stone and Alex Jones. Wow. You think Alex Jones was involved? You think Alex Jones incited the riot? See, I think the reason that they're going after Alex Jones and Roger Stone, even though those guys weren't really there, is because if you can promote more incitement, then you can try to create this guilt by association idea. Is Alex Jones's rhetoric a little over the top? In my opinion, yes. But you know what? That's what I'm talking about. They're going to use those statements by a few loose lips talk show hosts, and loose lips sink ships, right? I'm not here to attack Alex Jones or Roger Stone. I'm just here to mention that high-profile Trump allies eyed in Capitol riot probe. The Justice Department is investigating Alex Jones and Roger Stone. Right? Now, I'm of the opinion that they're just doing this to try to make this stick, this idea that you incited or guilt by association. It's a shame. By the way, speaking of racism and everything else, most Americans aren't racist. You know that, right? Well, anyway, there's a new poll out. Most Utahns would not change name of Dixie State University. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Salt Lake City says it may not be this year, but Governor Spencer Cox said recently that they're going to change the name of Dixie State University. It's too racist. At the same time, Utahns are weighing in on the subject via the Deseret News Hinckley Institute of Politics poll that 61% of Utahns don't think the name should change. But don't worry, almost two-thirds say that I want it changed, but your government's going to change it anyway. See what I mean, folks? We need a bigger presence in the media. And I'm not just saying that so I can be popular, okay? I'm probably the most famous unnamed talk show host on the planet. In that I don't need to be named. I'm not interested in being named. I'm not interested in getting the credit. But I am interested in truth-telling, and I am saying that we need to basically give a lot more mojo to this cause. Patriots need to stand up. The Black Lives Matter people do. They gave Black Lives Matter $90 million last year alone. How much can the Patriots get to carry their cause, to carry their ball forward, huh? LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word. Share the love. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. I am your host, Sam Bushman. And I'm telling you, we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. But you got to get involved, making a difference, and choose the right, will you? Repentance is key to our success as God-fearing constitutional Americans. Thank God for America. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the republic.